Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com. Welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be joined by Daniel Aaron, an author, professional keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and investor. He is a pioneer in the new fields of spiritual leadership and spiritual entrepreneurship for more than three decades. And he is the author of The Art of Spiritual Leadership, 40 Laws to Transform Your Life and the World. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for having me.
The honor is all mine. So let's go back in time just a little bit. I know some of it's in the book and we want everybody to get the book, but how did you get started?
How did I get started? Well, I was born in Maine, full-blooded maniac. I grew up on the standard American SAD, sad diet, fat, shy, and depressed was my childhood. Nonetheless, I made it through childhood. My mid-20s, God, which is not a word I could have used at that point, grabbed me by the hair, which was on my head, not my chin at that point, lifted me up and said, "There's more to the world than you've been seeing." And it was awesome. It was amazing. It changed everything in my world. It was blissful. I tasted oneness. And it was also horrible because I didn't understand it. I didn't know how to communicate it. I didn't know how to live what I'd seen and experienced. So when my feet came back down to the ground, I realized I got to figure this out, how to be spirit in human form. Not that I had that kind of language then either. And then I got obsessed with personal and spiritual development. So for the next 10 years, that's all I did was go from training to university to center to ashram to healing modalities, you name some kind of modality, I probably got certified in it in those days.
Awesome. And then how did that take you? I know the longer version is in the book. We obviously want to tease people and get them to get the book. How did that take you to what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, in that process, of course, as I was learning and growing so rapidly, it became natural for me to offer to other people. So I started coaching and teaching early on in that journey. And then about 10 years after that initial divine whack upside the head, what I got was another one which said, "Hey, it's time to put down roots." And that brought me to living overseas in Bali, where I lived for many years and built a center. And I realized that part of the reason for that injunction from the divine was to put down roots so that I could be of better service. So I had the good fortune of working with a lot of people there and being able to serve them.
That is awesome. What are some of the biggest misconceptions or mistakes people make when trying to evolve into this new spiritual leadership and spiritual entrepreneurship that you're kind of leading?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is we mistake this thing called imposter syndrome, right? And just in case it's not obvious what that is, imposter syndrome happens for everybody. It's this thing that where we go, who am I to fill in the blank, say this, do this, offer this, lead this, share this, teach this. And what often happens for people, the mistake is we think, oh no, I don't feel ready. I feel like an imposter. So that means I shouldn't do that thing. When in fact, the imposter syndrome actually is a good sign. It's a sign that you're on the right track. It means you are growing, and your growth is what's going to be of most service to other people.
That makes absolute sense. What is your definition? Let's go through both of them. What's your definition of spiritual
leadership.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, because everybody knows those words, but they're not that often put together. And spirit leadership seems fairly obvious, right? People understand that it's well, maybe not. On one level, it's having an influence over, having a beneficial impact upon, and that starts with ourselves. So everybody's a leader on some level. We're all at least leading ourselves effectively or ineffectively to get the results that we want. And then maybe having a more exerting role in some way by impacting others in our family, our community, or maybe in a company or an organization. That's all leadership. The spiritual aspect is a little slipperier slope to define because we don't really understand spirituality very well. Like we can measure somebody's physical health, right? We got all kinds of ways of measuring that, or somebody's wealth. We know how to measure that. But what is spiritual? So as I asked myself that question, I came up with two metrics for it. One is how comfortable is somebody with themselves? How comfortable are they in their own skin, right? The more comfort they have created with themselves, which you could say is self-acceptance, self-love, the more of that, the more, quote, spiritual they are. And then the second aspect is how much good are they giving to the world? How much love are they extending? How much service are they offering to others? So that's how I define the two pieces.
I think those are pretty, that's a pretty good definition. And then, and how does that change into this world of spiritual entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, there's two sides of that as well. There's people that are entrepreneurs that are doing well, that have figured out the worlds of business and finance, and they're out in the world and they're making money and they're building companies and they're building wealth, but somehow on the inside they feel like incongruent or unsatisfied, or maybe in some way actually that what they're doing is in conflict with their values. And so they need to harmonize those two. Or on the flip side, there are people that have done a lot of, quote, spiritual work and have these great values and big hearts, yet they haven't figured out how to create business and wealth and finance in a way that works for them. So in either case, it's like, how do we help people to have both of those aspects working in their life, the business and financial part, as well as the values, the spirituality, the heart part of it?
And then, I mean, you mentioned the whole feeling like it's not aligned. Are there any common like warning signs that we would know, hey, you know, someone's not that universe or whoever is knocking on our door and it's time to kind of evolve to the next level and do more in the world?
Yeah, well, I think there are warning signs. There's a great quotation from Lazarus. He says, if you can hear the whispers, you don't need to hear the screams. So I've worked with a lot of folks, and you know, sometimes people come because they're like, I got a feeling that something's not quite right. I feel like I'm missing something, or I'm not fulfilled, or you know, I've got all this stuff, but I feel empty inside. That's a much better place to start than someone who doesn't want to admit that and just keeps going, right? There's that old saying, like if you put your ladder up against a building and you're climbing, well, good to look up sometimes and see where it's going because it's going to be worse if you get to the top and find out you're up against the wrong building.
Yeah, absolutely. And what inspired you to write the book?
Well, I've been working with people for a long time and in live in-person groups, and I realized that there's a limit on how much impact we can have that way. So a lot of what I do when I work with people, especially in groups, is I tell stories, right? I create stories that are transformational for people. So then it became the obvious next step. Well, if I want to support more people, reach more people, putting some of those stories into a book format would be the way to do it. And I've always somehow appreciated books myself, and I've been into writing for a long time. So just felt like the next way of serving.
That makes a lot of sense. 40 laws to transform your life and your world. How'd you come up with 40?
That's a funny one because I didn't originally, and actually wrote the book three times before I got to a structure that I felt like would work for it. And then I realized, like, well, stories are good, But there's a reason we also want, quote, the moral of the story. And so telling a story can be useful, though, if we can also bring forward in a clear way what's the thing to learn and what's the action to take away from that, well, hopefully that makes it even more valuable. So as I came into that structure, I think originally I had 27 of them. And then an early editor said, 40 is kind of an important number. It's used in certain different places repeatedly. So I thought, well, okay. So then I, as I edited the book more, I realized, yeah, there's a lot more that we can put in here. And then there are a couple bonus ones too.
What surprised you most about what came through you when you wrote the book?
Thanks. That's a question that I seldom get. I didn't actually expect it to be about leadership when I started. I didn't go into leadership in any kind of conscious way myself. It's just that I wanted to create something that served people. And then at a certain point, I looked around and I said, wow, there's a lot of people that are depending on me. I guess I should learn something about leadership. So it really, as I evolved in the writing of the book, I thought, well, what's going to be the way that's going to serve people most? And bringing in some of the principles around leadership and empowering the people with big hearts that want to do good in the world to be effective in the world, that seemed to me worth doing.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. What did you like best about the way the book has been received?
Well, it's a bit trite, but true. People saying it's made a difference in their lives, right? Hearing from people that it's helped them to understand their journey. It's helped them to overcome imposter syndrome. It's helped them feel good about their past, as rather than a liability, it's actually an asset for them. That feels fantastic.
I bet. There's obviously a lot more to your business than the book. Can you talk a little bit about the other ways that people can go deeper in terms of working with you?
Yeah, thank you. Well, sure, absolutely. I'm happy to support people in whatever way works for them. For me, what that looks like is events and coaching, small group coaching or one-on-one coaching. Those are the main ways that I work with people. I've got a couple programs that people can go at their own pace, call them courses, also available. So just depending on how far someone wants to go and what's fitting for them.
That makes a lot of sense. Who's an ideal client for you?
It's the way I think of it is someone who has some success already, because if we're any of us are in a place where we're blaming others, if we're in a victim consciousness, it's really hard to make progress. So someone who's had some success in their life, yet who is hungry for more, who wants more, and who is willing to do the work, because it's not necessarily easy. It's working with me is sometimes challenging. Change is challenging. And sometimes what I share with clients and what I say isn't what they want to hear. So they have to be sort of committed enough and brave enough to be willing to tackle the tough stuff, and that they want to do something that's good for the world, that they want to make a bigger impact in the world.
Absolutely. For our folks who are watching and listening, where is the best place for them to go get the book and the best place for them to learn more about you?
Well, all of that's probably easiest at my website, danielaron.com, AARON.com. The book's available on pretty much all of the bookie platforms that you can find. So easy to do.
Awesome. Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing?
Oh man, it feels like just such a privilege to be able to do work that's meaningful to me. But the greatest gratification is seeing people's results, right? Seeing people transform their lives, overcome limitations, create lives that they love. That's just such a privilege.
Awesome. Well, we greatly appreciate your time. We know it's incredibly valuable. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure, honor. Thank you, Seth. I appreciate your interest and I love what you're doing. It's amazing.
Thank you. And thank you everybody for watching or listening. This has been Seth Green with Daniel Aaron. Make sure to check him out at danielaaron.com. The book is The Art of Spiritual Leadership, 40 Laws to Transform Your Life and Your World. We will talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book, with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.